Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 421 of the Overseas Connection podcast. We are live. This is not a recording unless, of course, you're listening to this on iTunes, in which case, it's a recording. Hey, I'm one of your hosts today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And we've got a more intimate, just a very small, cozy show for you today. With us today, a profound instrumentalist, a mentalist as well, Mr. Mike Chin from the Veteran Gamers.
What up?
What's up, Obi-Wan?
Okay, my microphone is switched on. Hello.
Is this on? Yeah, hello. That's good. That's good.
Here we go. What's going on?
Mike.
It's the show.
It's the show.
Hey, let's all get close to our microphones. It's an intimate. It's a show tonight. We're just going to talk.
I like that you're covered. You're hiding behind the microphone. That's good.
We okay? We good, Greg?
Yeah, we're good. We're you know what? We're really good. Thanks for being here, Mike. You know,
no, my pleasure. My pleasure, Greg.
Outside of one individual, who I may or may not name shortly, everybody else on the podcast team just abandoned the ship. I mean, it was like water was coming on board. The rats were fleeing the ship. And I said it. The rats were leaving the ship.
Don't talk to me about rats. I've got rats in my loft still. Oh, they're fuckers.
Turns out we didn't have a rat, by the way, in my house. It was a squirrel. It was a fucking squirrel.
They're okay.
Yeah. No, not really.
I'd rather have squirrels.
All kinds of shit
in my loft than rats.
Yeah, I mean, I like squirrels when I see them outside on trees. They look very nice and friendly. But once they get into your house, they're not so friendly or nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah. So I mean, okay. So Nicole, Mother's Day, whatever.
Mother's Day was back in March.
Not in the U.S. It's actually tomorrow in the U.S.
No
but again,
excuse.
I'm like it's tomorrow. You know, just saying. There was some feedback there for a moment. I'm not sure what that was all about. This is going to be a professional show, by the way, folks. Professional. Kim also decided she had a party to go to last minute. Like, that was the best excuse ever. It's like, oh, by the way, sorry, I've got something else to do. I didn't even know about it up until 5 minutes ago. Yeah. And then Robin pretty much, it was just a straight up fuck off.
Yeah, he's gone to watch some motorbikes fly around this round bit of road or something.
Yeah. And then, you know, Mr. Webster, he threw up the same excuse my wife gives me, which is I've got a headache. So I'm just saying. Mark Wright, also on the show, you are the star powering the show, making the sound effects work through magic and duct tape.
Yeah, fairy dust. It's all done by fairy dust.
Yeah.
So, still having major problems with my PC, so we're doing a bit of a combination with a PC and the Mac. So hybrid streaming.
What are the problems with your PC?
It won't.
The Echo is one.
It won't output my system sound to Skype. So, which confuses the other guys because I say, "All right, I'm playing the intro music," and they go, "Is it over yet?"
Right. So, but we might have to do something about the echo.
Is it still echoing?
I heard it a bit. Now it's gone again.
It's gone again.
All right.
Yeah. This is going to be the entire podcast. We're going to be like, wait, I hear it.
Yeah. It's there. Yeah. No, it's gone. And And the end of the show.
Right.
Right.
Pretty much. I think this is going to be an intro and an outro, and we're done. We're out.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah, but anyway, Mike, no, thanks for jumping onto the show. You know, last minute, we're like, you know, hey, I'm around. You know, I'm not a mother. I don't have any excuses.
I'm not a mother, not a father.
Not you know of.
Not that I know of. Not that I'm legally allowed to say.
Exactly.
So I'm good. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of plan this weekend. It's been a long week for me.
In a bad way or a good way?
You know, good, I suppose, from a business point of view. Bad in a personal health point of view. But, you know, it's fine. It's very rare that I have to film every day in a week. And we had to film every day this week. And it was exhausting. It was all different things. And you don't know what thing you're filming this time. And you turn up and you meet loads of people and you just don't know what you're doing. So like you turn up to a job and you're like, oh, I don't know what this is. And you have to sort of blag everything. But no, it was okay. Made it through. Met some nice people.
Okay, well, that's good. You know,
yeah.
Can't argue about that. I mean, you could, but why would you, right?
Well, it's business, isn't it? Like, it's my business, so the fact that we got all that work on is great.
Right, and business going well?
Business is going well, yeah. We got five staff now.
That's good. You've moved off of Top Ramen. You're actually eating real food, I hear these days.
Yeah. We don't suck the nutrients out of the carpets these days. We actually buy food from shops.
Is that Bert in the background, by the way? The yellow,
no,
yellow doll?
I knew that is.
I don't know who it is.
It's called Flat Eric.
So for the audio listeners, our webcams are on. And behind me, I have a little IKEA thing. And on it is a little thing called Flat Eric. He's a big yellow thing. And he was popular in 2000, probably more.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
But it's got to be a UK thing, because I've literally never seen that.
Yeah, it was in some music videos, wasn't it?
It was a music video, and it was a song, and it was a very good song. And he was in a car, and he would just do this and stuff, and he would pick up the phone, and it was very funny. And my auntie bought me this, because I was fascinated with him, and I've kept it ever since, and I love it. And every now and again, when I stream video games or whatever, somebody will come in randomly and go, is that Flat Eric? And you know, it's just funny. I don't know. But there you go. Yeah, so business is going well. Just a long week. I got to meet a lady called Lisa Potts. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, Mark.
No.
Greg, I don't think you would have. But Lisa stopped a machete attack at a school.
All right.
So she was given the George Medal. Which is presented by the Queen, and she's had tea with Princess Diana just before she passed away. And she was a really nice woman, and we got to meet and work with her for a little bit. So my job takes me everywhere, so it's interesting. But you know, just having five people in the business is weird, because they all have rights now. When you employ people, when they're freelance, you can just treat them like shit and spit on them.
Yeah.
But when you employ them, like HR comes into it, and says, you gotta offer them pension and not slap them every day. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. So, you know, it's just that whole business, of dealing with that. And they look at me like I know what's going on.
Jeremy Clarkson, by the way, would counter that and say it's okay to slap them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do slap them. But
as a good employer, you should.
HR doesn't know I slap them. You know,
technically, aren't you HR? Isn't that the funny part about this?
No, we have actually got like a third party.
Oh, you have to go to a third party for HR.
Yeah, when you employ in Britain, I don't know how it works in America, but in Britain, this is very boring, but I'm sorry. If you employ five or more employees in your business, you have to, you have to get proper HR, shit going on.
I don't think there are any laws like that in terms of how we, you know, how you set up an HR department.
Awesome. I'm going to, you know what?
It's going to move to America.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm the manager. Go take that up with HR or HR, not HR. That's a different department. I also would be HR.
If you're listening to this show thinking, God, I am so glad I listened to the HR podcast. Well, let's talk policies, because they are fun.
No, we don't have to talk policies.
No.
But we, I mean, you know, this is part of what we do on this podcast. We do talk about video games at some point.
And
but life, you know, it happens. It's part of our life. It's So we got to talk about it. Let's talk about some stuff.
I went to Portugal. That was good.
Okay.
As some people might know, that I'm teetotal. I've never drank alcohol in my life. So going on a stag do or a bachelor party, as the Americans call it,
right,
is not my ideal scenario, I have to say.
A little bit of peer pressure in those kind of situations.
But, to be honest, a lot of the guys didn't notice I didn't drink till like Saturday, and we went there Thursday, which just gives you an idea of. Yeah, well, it just gives you an idea of, like, I can sort of blend in pretty well. I'm kind of like a social chameleon, really. I feel like I can blend into most situations. Mark, you've seen me out and about.
Yeah.
You know, we've been out.
I would like to think I would have gotten you to drink, Mike.
No, it's not going to happen. I'm 31 now, Greg. It's over.
It's really not. You've got plenty of years left. And
it's over.
I'm just saying now. You will have a glass of champagne at your wedding.
No.
Yes, you will.
No.
It'll happen.
So it's just, I don't know. And for my bachelor party next year, I'm going to go to Amsterdam.
California.
No. And, I'm going to do the other thing. Not drink, do the other thing.
you're going to smoke weed, but you're not going to drink.
Yeah.
Ah, Mike.
That's how strongly I feel about.
Have you smoked weed before?
No.
Okay.
No, never done that before. But I'd rather do that. Because on your bachelor thing, you got to do something a bit mad, haven't you?
Right.
And I agree. I said to my best man, Marsh, I said, look, I'm not going to drink. It's just not going to happen. But I'll do the weed thing. And Tara's brothers just went, fucking yes, when we found out that we were going to Amsterdam. Because they love Amsterdam.
That may be the better choice, to be perfectly honest.
I think they were really happy.
If it had been legal at the time when I started drinking, maybe I would have opted for that.
It doesn't mean I'm going to become like a pothead or anything when I get back. Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, my brother's going to come and he loves Amsterdam and he's been known to do that. So everybody's pleased that we're going there and everybody's pleased that I'm going to join in a little bit. But I'm just not going to drink, Greg. I'm just not going to do it.
I have homework for you, Mike.
Right.
I want you to go look up. Do you remember the show Taxi? Did you ever see that?
Is it the Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it actually. No, I don't know.
So you have to look up. It's probably on YouTube somewhere. But look up the episode where he first tries drugs, because Christopher Lloyd's character in that movie, or in the TV series, and I forgot the name of his character, but he's this completely spaced out druggy dude.
Right.
But before he was like straight laced college Ivy League guy, and then he was like, oh, it'll never affect me, and he tried it one time and then he turned into who he was. So yeah. It's a very funny episode.
Yeah, right. It's kind of like Barney in The Simpsons before he drank, he was all that. But that kind of thing.
I'm expecting this.
Yes. What you will be pleased about, Greg, is where we're going on our honeymoon.
California?
We are thinking about doing Route 1.
Oh, really? Okay.
That is on the card.
Highway 1 up and down the coast.
That's right.
If you do that, Mike,
yes,
we will meet.
Absolutely.
I will 100% make sure at some point or another I am sitting on Highway 1 waiting for you to pass by.
Well, no, I think I'm going to go out my way to meet you.
I would come meet you.
No, absolutely. I think that was one of the selling points. I said to Tara, I was like, we could go do Route 1. And then she said, oh, we could meet Greg. So, you know, and meet Colin and Cindy and everything. And, so that's what we intend to do. So on my honeymoon, I intend to meet you and probably play golf with you.
I like it. I like it.
That's going to be the
this is turning
know,
into then, a banner year. I'm excited.
And Tara can go off with Cindy and do whatever women do. I don't know, but yeah, that's the plan. I haven't told you about that yet. And then I've heard about different things like Carmel and San, Santa Cruz and all that sort of stuff.
Right. So that is all like Northern California area. That's good. You're in the right zone.
For the longest time,
Robin kept trying to put me in Los Angeles.
No,
that's really far away.
I'm aware. I think we're going to start in San Fran.
Okay.
That might be a place to start and then work our way down. And then I know you're too far.
No, no. We're actually probably where you start will be closest to us.
Yeah.
Technically, because of where I live now. Yeah. But San Francisco also will probably remind you the most of England.
Okay.
Depending upon, you know, when you take your honeymoon specifically. But San Francisco does get cold. It does get overcast and foggy.
Yeah, lots of homeless people as well, which is very familiar to England. Yeah, no, that's fine.
And then Carmel. Carmel is nice. Monterey is nice. Yeah, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. That, you know, it's not set in stone yet, but we're pretty keen on that idea.
No, it's set in stone now.
Oh, it is. Oh, shit.
Sorry.
I don't know if I've got anything else going on. We're doing monster trucking next week.
Monster trucking?
Yeah.
Are you going to go to a monster truck show, or are you literally
going to jump in? No, we're going to do it, I think. We're going to ride in a truck, monster truck. My brother bought me and Tara a monster truck thing.
Okay. All right. Monster truck experience.
Yeah. It's been a mad year, really. We've done lots of different things. But yeah, monster trucking. I don't know. Have you ever done that, Mark and Greg?
No. I've been to some shows where you watch them crush cars and stuff.
Yeah.
Like rally events and stuff, but I've never actually been in one.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's at Donington Racecourse, which I've been before. For work, actually. I've been filming there and stuff. So I know Donington. But yeah, it's there. I don't know. I don't know what to expect, really.
I would expect to smell a lot of gas, petrol, sorry, and loud noises, and probably get jolted around.
I was just going to say,
crushing cars.
Yeah, you'll get shaken about a bit.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Oh, the echo's back, Mark.
Yeah. I'll show along. Oh, the echo's back.
Every time the echo's back, I just think, God, who's this handsome chap on this show?
Sounds like he should podcast.
He should have a regular show called The Veteran Gamers or something. That would be great.
That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm all right. I don't hear an echo, so.
All right.
Yeah, I think I'm done. Greg, yeah, Mark, yeah, go for what's been going on in Mark's life.
Not really. Had my birthday this week, so... Got a few, few goodies.
True. You did celebrate turning, 29?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Happy birthday. That's my happy birthday.
I got a new headset, which is really good, actually. I'm quite impressed with it. So it's like a not as popular brand as like Turtle Beaches and that. It's an Audio MX one, and it's really good quality. And it works on my PC and my Xbox One and my PS4. I also got a new car stereo, a double DIN, like touchscreen one, so it plays movies and it's got reverse camera and all this sort of, like sat nav built in and that, so it's quite fancy. So that's good.
Awesome. Yeah. One more thing to distract you while driving.
Yes, I've been fitting that today, so it's taken me a few hours to do here.
I'll tell you what, Mark, I was thinking of you the other day. Because I had a car problem, which I'd imagine that you get a lot, because anybody who knows anything about cars is very popular.
Yeah.
But I had this, my engine light came on,
in
my car.
Right.
Which is very vague, you know, it's just like your car just basically going, meh, like that, right? And then, so we're driving, we watched a rugby game, we just came back from the Worcester Warriors, and we were driving, and came on, and it just went, meh, my light's on, fucking deal with it. And I pulled over, and if there's not as Lee Evans says, like if there's not an elephant or an octopus on the car, I don't know what's wrong with it, you know what I mean? So I look like I do, and I checked the oils and shit, Mark, you know, that seems like a thing to do. So I did that, and it was all fine. And then, I remembered, you need a diagnostic machine, really.
Yeah, everything's right? Computerized these days. Yeah.
So I remembered that the neighbor has a diagnostic machine.
Yeah.
And instead of going to a garage, I'll go to my neighbor because they charge you like 50 quid or whatever at the garage. So I went to my neighbor and I said, can I borrow your thing to know what's wrong with my thing? And he went, I'll tell you what, Mike, I'll do it for you. And I went, fantastic. So I gave him the keys and I went inside and I played City Skylines, right? And then he rang my door and he went, there you go, Mike, it's off. And I went, it's off? Yeah. I don't want it off. I want to know
why it came on.
Why is it on?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I don't know. Who knows? And I'm like, well,
yeah.
I need
that echo again.
I'm trying to go over it, Greg.
I know.
So I was like, I need to know what the light is. And he's like, oh, no, it's probably nothing. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you. So he's basically done the equivalent of putting a tape over the light.
He's right? Just cleared it, haven't he?
Yeah, he's just cleared it, which is what you're supposed to do when you sell the car.
Yeah.
so I have no idea what truck. Now, and I can't even go to a garage now and go, my engine light was on, but it's not on anymore. Yeah, I know. But it was. And yeah. There's no codes because
it's cleared them. Yeah.
So
has it not been on since?
No.
Sometimes they do come on under like weird situations, and it's like a fluke thing. What's caused
like
it?
A
like
misfire, a spark,
yeah,
a misfire,
yeah, or a bit, or it says a bit of overfueling or something. So yeah, if it comes back on, just make sure you get the code before he wipes it next time.
So I have a funny story.
I've got a code reader. I'll bring it down to EGX.
Yeah. I'll drive it to EGX. Go on, Mark. I'm going to enjoy the show.
Everybody who has car problems, please bring your car to EGX.
Yeah,
Mark
yeah.
will fix it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Literally we had a check engine light come on in one of our cars. Cindy was getting ready to go down to visit her mother over the weekend. So she wanted to get the oil change in the car. She's like, you know what, have them check the check engine light. So the dealership calls back and they said, you know, hey, you know, we got the oil change done, but it's going to be $140 for us to figure out what the check engine light's for.
Nice.
And Cindy's like, yeah, well, you know what, don't worry about it. Because we're pretty sure it was something to do with, we changed out our spark plugs not too long back. And the check engine light came on right after that, so we have a feeling maybe one of them is bad or something. But needless to say, the dealership guy's like, oh, well, tell you what, I don't have to charge you. I can just run the codes. And I was like, why wouldn't you just run the codes anyway? That's what it's there for. You know, you're going to charge me $140 and not run the codes? No, you're going to run the codes. So fucking just run the codes. Tell me what
just
it
fuck
is.
Fuck you, that's why. That's pretty why much. I want to charge you. Yeah.
That was more or less what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of dealerships around here, they charge you £75 just to actually just plug it in and read the codes. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's madness.
Yeah.
Totally madness. All right. Well, I guess I would be up. So I took my son out to, there's a big special needs event in the city today. And it was called Ride to Walk, which basically there's a horse ranch not too far away from us where the gal that owns the ranch also happened to be a physical therapist, and she works with special needs children and actually gets them riding horses.
Sick.
And the relationship with riding the horses and you know, just the physical requirements of it also have proven to be just immensely helpful to a lot of kids. So we're looking to get Colin in to start riding some horses. I think it'll be a lot of fun. So
you got
to
get him a hat.
He hates hats. Oh, my God.
Do they?
Yeah, hates them.
Get him the spurs. You got to get him something cowboy.
Considering how often I pick him up, I don't want him having spurs.
I think
the best you're going to get is a
cowboy.
Come
on, Dad. Fucking hurry up. Yeah. No, I think he should. Yeah. Now I've read somewhere that not with horses but with dolphins apparently the same effect. Like apparently, if you're around dolphins, especially people with special needs, they get some sort of connection with them. I don't know because they're an animal or something, but you know I think dogs as well. You know that it's quite common that you know like a trust of like a dog's trust or something will come round to like an old people's home or like a special needs place and this affection with animals. Really brings out like a lot of people. So that's awesome, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very cool. It was very cool. And I have to now turn the page. So this podcast has been nothing about video games so far, and it's going to continue to be nothing about video games for a little bit longer.
Okay.
Bowling. I want to talk a little bit about bowling because somebody actually reached out to me. It was Kyle Adams actually reached out to me and said, hey, I'd love to hear more about bowling because
he's a bowler.
Yeah, he's a bowler. He's been picking
it
up.
He's a bowler. Yeah, he's plays for a team. I listen to the Entertain Nerds.
Yeah. and it's you don't play for a team, you play in a league, Mike.
He plays for a team in a league, though, surely.
He has a team in a league, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Now, come on.
Are you playing? Were you bowling there, Greg?
Yeah. So getting back into bowling, I took about 12 years off from bowling. But
really?
My ex-wife,
so you were a bowler?
Oh yeah, my ex-wife was actually on the Pro Bowler tour.
Oh okay.
Yeah, she actually had bowled a couple 300 games. So yeah, and of course one time she almost hit 300. I forgot where she wound up at. I mean it was ridiculously high. But I was being an asshole at
that time. Was this the result of your divorce with her, Craig?
This did not lead to my divorce with her, although it should have. It should have. No, I literally was like, well, you could have hit 300.
Yeah.
That didn't go over well. Anyway, so bowling, the whole thing in the U.S., one, they hate when you call it a bowling alley, which I still call it a bowling alley. Yeah, the bowling center. Especially if they're, you know, like...
attention, bowling community. Fuck off.
Right. It's a bowling alley, damn it. The question that was kind of asked of me is kind of, you know, what's the experience like? Because out there, he said, mostly it's just a bunch of people getting drunk and, just throwing the ball down the lane. That's not terribly different from out here. You definitely get that level of people, but all of the leagues that we run for the most part, they're all paid leagues. So there's prize pots, money pots, if you will. So you have monthly or weekly dues. So every time you come in, you bowl your games, you're giving like $20 or whatever. And then at the end of that season, they'll give out awards for highest game, most improved, things like that. And then they do little side pots every night. So like, best game that night, something like that will get rewarded. So, it makes it competitive. And they also do a lot of handicapping leagues. So if you're not the best bowler, you still can be competitive because you'll get, in a sense, you'll get handicapped. So let's say the average is supposed to be 175. So if you're averaging below 175, you'll get the pin differential between 175 and your average added to your score that week. That makes sense?
No.
Okay, so we'll make it easy. So let's say
I didn't ask you to try and explain it. Right. Just answer that question.
So the league sets up an average of 160. So that's the average, okay, for the league is 160. So, Mike, you are a beginning bowler. You're averaging only 120 a week. Right? That's your average.
Right.
Your
that
average.
Sounds right.
Okay.
That sounds right.
So when you're playing in an actual, counted game, a league game, you will get 40 pins added to your score for that week. And as you improve, you get less and less handicap.
All right.
And so if you're better than the handicap, you actually get pins taken away from you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes for fun times. And this way, all levels can compete with one another. And then my pro tip.
Bumpers up.
Yeah. No.
That metal shoe.
Well, yeah, bumpers up. No, is your bowling shoes. So very important thing. If you're at the bowling center and you have to go to the bathroom or you're going to go up to the bar, maybe you're going to go get some beer, whatever the case may be. Either buy some little smocks to put over your shoes or get some flip-flops with you and just quickly put the flip-flops on and walk up to the bathroom or the bar. The reason is if you go in the bathroom for sure, you're going to step in somebody's crap. I mean, the wetness on the floor, that kind of thing. Then, yes, piss. And the last thing you want to do is
the
get
word
your
of
shoes
the podcast
wet.
Is piss.
Yes. Don't get your shoes wet. That's the rule of thumb. Because when you come back down and you try to bowl, you will no longer glide. You will stick. And when you try to throw that ball and you stick, you will probably launch yourself down the lane.
So, I want to comment on the videos that Mark's putting up on the stream. the listeners.
I'm trying to keep the listeners entertained because I think a lot of them are bored stupid right now.
Is this the thing about bowling?
Yeah, the trick shots.
Okay. All right.
We got God trick shots.
Yeah. What echo?
It's a Yekko, by the way. Now, apparently.
Yeah, Fraser's telling everyone that not to worry because he's back next week. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. We want to hear the likes about curling.
I can just listen to my echo all day long. All right, let's talk about video games. I will start. I finished Halo Wars 2.
Yes.
I liked it. It was a really good campaign.
Mark, what did you play? I'm a big Halo Wars 2 fan. How long did it take you to clock?
I want to say the campaign's about 6 hours. It's not very long.
Is it all?
It is fairly short. It ended a little faster than I anticipated. It didn't feel like there was many cutscenes in this.
Which is like one of the standout things about Halo Wars 2.
So I was a little bit disappointed in that as well. I mean, the campaign itself, the mission types that you play actually are pretty good. There's a lot of variety to them. There was one mission in particular. I wasn't playing it on the hardest difficulty, so it was fairly straightforward. I mean, you know, it was more about amassing the army in enough time and you could just overpower whatever you were against. But this one mission in particular, on any difficulty level, it was going to force you to have to split your forces up and maintain them in different locations. And in fact, it was three different locations in particular that you had to maintain a force of some kind. And so that was actually pretty cool because it really got you using the shortcuts on the D-pad to get around to your different, you know, your different units and make sure that you were utilizing them and keeping them healthy. So I actually at first was hating that mission because I was failing left and right because I wasn't doing that. I wasn't doing what I really needed to do. I kept thinking, oh, I could just brute force it. I'll just get this army up and they won't be able to stop me and I'll take over all the capture points. The problem was I'd take over a capture point and I'd leave it with this massive army for the next one. And then behind enemy lines, they would come back in and take the back, you know, the point that I had just captured. And it was a situation of like a ticket timer. So every time they would capture it, they started earning points. And I was only capturing one point at a time, and they always had at least two, if not three. So, anyway.
Was it difficult?
No. No, that mission, yes, but overall, no.
No, because I remember the first Halo Wars campaign being pretty tricky.
Yeah, but last mission on the first game was horrendous. I remember doing that a few times.
Because the last mission on the first game was you have to like guess the order of
all them like quadrants on that round thing.
Right.
Yeah. I think me and you, Mark, are the only two people on Earth that remember what that mission is.
There's a similar mission to that in this, but it's not. I didn't find it particularly difficult.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, you're positive on it.
I ended up really enjoying my time with it and looking forward to potentially playing some multiplayer with a certain somebody. Mark will join us.
Do you?
Maybe.
Did you play it solo or co-op the campaign?
I played it solo. Okay. It would have been easier playing it co-op, I believe.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, the difficulty might have ramped up, or you could have spiked the difficulty yourself.
I think they drop more units down, like enemy units, when there's co-op. I think,
And I say it would have been easier because, for those missions where you do have to split forces, even though I didn't split my forces for the vast majority of the different missions in the game. When it is asking you to do that, having two players to do that is going to obviously make it a little easier.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What about the maps and stuff? I mean, because everything I've seen of Halo Wars 2 has been just rocks and shit. And I think Halo Wars, despite, I mean, it is a top-down sort of RTS, but, you know, they did a sort of very good job of, sort of swapping it up. Sometimes it would be like a city map or like a jungle map and stuff. Are they quite varied?
There's no city map. There's nothing like the city map, now that I think about it. And that was a very cool map. I liked that map in the original Halo Wars. So, to that extent, no. And unfortunately, they're not doing what Microsoft did with the original, or with Halo 5, where basically all the maps were free.
Right.
So this, they have the DLC maps, and as far as I know, they are paid for DLC maps, which I hate that. I at this point, I think anybody making a multiplayer game, do not do paid for DLC map packs. Just release them out to your player base so everybody can still play together. Find another way to rip us off of money. I don't care, but don't charge for map packs. So, yeah.
Preach.
Yeah. Speaking of map packs that you should charge for, Forza Horizon 3 Halo Hot Wheels Edition. I played this. I really kind of dig it.
Yeah.
I'm leaning back now, because you and Mark are you're the car people.
I've played a lot of this.
Yeah, it's good.
It's really good. Yeah. You don't get many cars, but I'm not that bothered because the tracks are just superb. It's so different driving around on a plastic road. just having
that
feeling.
It's kind of Mario Kart vibe.
Yeah.
You know, it has goddamn echo.
I can't hear it.
It's you, Mark. It's you.
I can't hear it.
I know you can't hear it. I can hear it. As you're driving along the tracks, they do have speed boost built into the tracks, which I thought was kind of different. But obviously, for a Forza game, it makes it very arcadey. But it's perfect for Hot Wheels.
And the speed boosts themselves, I think they're really cool because you've got like massive black rollers in the track, and then beside you've got these massive V12 engines generating the rollers, and they look really cool because they're just sat there shaking at the edge of a road, and when you hit the booster, it just like propels you. It's really cool. And some of the stunts are good.
This is Hot Wheels tracks. As a kid, when I got my Hot Wheels tracks, this is how I envisioned it. So, you know, the Hot Wheel tracks, they had those little rollers in them.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, boost your cars on the track and do your loop-de-loops and stuff like that. Yeah. And in my head, it all worked just like the Forza 3 DLC does. In real, you know, in the reality of life, it never worked that way. and it did not look nearly as cool. So this is just, you know, it is a really good...
Is this free, Greg? Is this...
No, Mike. This is the one that I said, this is where you charge for it. I wish it was free. I wish it was free. That would be fantastic.
So you and Mark have paid for this.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you're together, aren't
brothers.
You?
Brothers, yes.
Right. Okay. But how much was it?
Well, we bought the season pass. So we ended up getting the Blizzard Mountain DLC as well. So it was $35, I believe.
Hey, driving games is one of those games. You get a lot of money. You get a lot of, you know, value out of your money if you play it. You know, it's just one of those games that keep going. It's not like a story or anything like that. You can just play it forever.
Yeah.
So it looks cool.
Yeah.
It is. It's really good fun.
It's about the closest thing we've seen to a Mario Kart. Kind of cross, and I say that because you've got jumps, you've got the loop-de-loops, you've got the craziness of all of that happening. The only difference being that, you know, you don't have any turtle shells, you don't have any kind of weapons per se, and you do still have a bit of real-world physics to the cars.
Yeah.
So that, you know, they still do handle, you know, very much like a Forza game. So it's a weird mix, but. It's good, and the visuals on this are just awesome.
Yeah, what I like as well is when you're doing a race, you've got the option, like in the other Forza Horizon 3 races, you can actually personalize it a bit and make it how you want it to be. And you can actually swap out the different stunts. So if you don't like the figure of eight, you can put in the waves where you can go, like, up and down, or you can put in a loop-de-loop. And it's just great how you can, like, set it up how you like it. Some of the challenges in it, the bucket list and that, they're quite tough. But they're all great fun trying to do.
Yeah. I heard somebody complaining, I saw somebody complaining in the forum. They're like, why are the tracks orange? And I'm like, it's fucking Hot Wheels, man. That's what it is. So.
Yeah, Hot Wheels tracks are always orange. Yeah, so I get confused with this, and because GTA 5 have released like a top-down...
Yeah, it's very similar.
Machines.
Yeah. So you only get, I think there's only five Hot Wheels cars you can get, which I were a little disappointed about. But I'm sure they'll be adding more to come.
Yeah, you know they will.
But you can drive any of your existing cars on the tracks anyway.
Yeah, in fact, that's what I've been driving, my preference.
Yeah.
Got my Mercedes AMG, which I love that car.
Yeah, that sounds nice. But yeah, if anyone's on the sort of like the fence about getting this, if you've got the money, I'd highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun, a lot of replay value. You earn medals in this, and it sets you challenges for each race. So it'll tell you to get so many drift points in a race or hit so many skill points in a race to get all three medals. And the more medals you unlock, it unlocks more features. I think I'm up to 100. I've just hit 100 medals now. So I've unlocked everything now, I think. And I've done there's a massive, do you know the showcase events on Forza Horizon 3 where you're racing a train or you're racing a fighter jet? Right. In this, the last one is called the Goliath, and it's just basically all the island. You just do the whole circuit on every stun, and it is absolutely a blast. So yeah, it's really good. Right. And Blizzard Mountain, I've played a bit of that. Have you tried that, Greg? That's quite good.
I have not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite good things about that. Yeah. So I knew eventually we'd be getting this the season pass.
Yeah.
The Hot Wheels DLC just like cemented, let's get it now.
Yeah.
So. Mm. All right. Well, enough of that. I can see we've bored Mike to tears. Mike, are you still awake?
Yeah. No, I'm just watching it. No, Forza's a weird sort of beast for me. I think the only Forza I've ever played was one. And
let me throw this out there, Mike. I get it. You're not a car guy. You're not a gearhead at all.
But I've liked racing games.
I get that. So what I'm going to tell you right now is I think you would love Forza Horizon 3. Mm. I think this is actually your kind of game.
Because you liked Split Second, didn't you? It's that sort of vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the tuner racetrack, heavy gearhead
I feel like the cars still have a bit too much weight to them for me.
Mike, you can race a Warthog in Forza Horizon 3.
I know, but like the cars feel heavy, and that's accurate. Like, I'm not saying that's bad, but when you play like a Split Second or like an arcade sort of car game, I feel like the older ones, like Burnout, the car just feels like nothing. It feels like it's hollow. And I prefer that for some reason. And now, these days, the big trend with racing cars is they have so much like meat and they're so much weighty and they slug around these corners. And that's probably more accurate, but it just doesn't do it for me at all. Like, I don't know what it is. I played the Forza Horizons Fast and Furious DLC.
Yeah.
It was free.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I remember falling asleep, like actually falling asleep playing it.
All right, so Mike, you can just leave the podcast now. Anyway, so on to
Burnout though. You give me a Burnout, and I'll play that.
Yeah.
So
Burnout and Split Second are probably the last sort of like car games that I've sort of really liked.
So are you somewhat intrigued by the whole the Burnout Paradise? Not Burnout Paradise. What the hell with it?
They're doing one which is just a crash thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think Crash Mode for me has always been just like, I mean, it was a lot of fun, Crash Mode. I think it was in Burnout 3.
Right.
And Burnout Revenge and stuff. But it was always something else to do other than the main game. So I mean, but I think they're marketing that Crash Time game as like an indie game, so I don't think it's going to be a full price game. So it'll be nice, but a great part of racing games, especially arcade races, is just feeling like you're going really fast, dodging everything. I'm slightly interested in the Crash Mode thing, but and that was a good mode in Burnout. I remember that, and I liked it, but I don't know. It's going to feel like half a package for me, I guess. I want another Burnout or a split second, but I don't think they're ever going to happen, really.
I doubt they will. Yeah.
No, I think the closest I'm going to get is when I get a Switch, I'll probably get Mario Kart, and that'll be it. So, that's fine.
Alright. Well, we now know what Mike's getting for Christmas. Switch. Alright, well, let's talk about City Skylines. Mark. Mike, you play this too, though, so we could talk about this.
Yeah, no, weirdly enough, I bought this on the PC when it came out, which was about 2-3 years ago, and I only just started playing it, and it came out on the Xbox One apparently about the same time. I didn't play it. It's on my Dirty 30, so
yeah.
I don't know, it's just a weird coincidence, isn't it?
Well, I'm playing it because it were on the Real Defoe's Steam games, and he shares his games with me. But since then, it was on sale for £6 for the full lot, so I bought it anyway because it's that good. I really enjoy it. So my first start in City is growing really big now. And it's causing its own problems. Traffic's getting clogged up. I'm having to upgrade all the roads. And it's just getting too big for its boots, I think. Because your first city, you just like dive in, don't you, Mike? And you just like lay everything out and you don't plan it properly. So I keep thinking in the back of my mind, I'm going to start a new one and do a proper layout. But
So when you're talking about, you know, you don't plan it properly, you having to think about like sewage and things like that.
Power, sewage, water, schools, hospitals, everything, bus routes.
And I suppose what
so exciting.
It's really fun.
It is a fun game. It is really nerdy.
Yeah.
I'm going to play through the echo here because I know that the listeners can't hear it. But I think what Mark was getting at with the whole first city learning thing is, I mean, you literally just do what the prompt tells you, you know, on the tutorial. You're like, right, put a road down. You go, okay. And you think, okay, this is going to be okay. And then you realise, oh, okay, this junction that I've made is a complete fucking bottleneck. This is awful. I want to burn this. So what I'm doing, Mark, I don't know what you've done, but what I'm doing is I'm sticking with my first city. Mm. Doesn't matter how bad of a monstrosity it's going to become, I'm going to stick with it, and I'm going to buy all the squares. I'm getting there. I think I've got 35,000 people in my city now.
Okay.
It's quite a lot. I have a lot of dead people in my city.
I've had to create a couple of graveyards and a crematorium because that was backing up a bit.
I've got graveyards and crematoriums. I've got crematoriums next to graveyards because my graveyards fill up, right, and I have to empty them. So they literally just drive next door and burn the fuckers to put more people in the graveyard, right? It's just a goddamn mess. And I spend a lot of my time demolishing empty buildings and making sure that there's not too many dead people.
Yeah.
And have you saw the Mimral sort of menu? Have you seen this?
No.
So if you, there's a thing you click on and it tells you like, what the land is good for, right? So if there's like a black patch on the land, it means that there's oil there.
Yeah.
And if it's green, it means it's good for forests. If it's yellow, I think it means it's fertile, so you can do like a farm industry. Right. So you can have different industries. So you regionalize them and then you say, right, this is going to be a farm. This is going to be da da da. And I found this big black patch right on my land, and right, so I've just built this road all the way up to it, and I'm just going to absolutely, you know, fuck the shit out of that oil and and get it out of there. And then but then you get a demand for people because then I had this problem where I didn't have enough dumb workers.
Right? Yeah.
I had too many smart people. And the problem was I had to take away their university because they were too smart.
So I'm going to make you dumb.
There was like because I had an industrial area and it was like box packing and stuff.
Right.
And I was just like, well, what the fuck? They're all complaining because like, they're all educated. So I wrote fuck your university, and I made another neighborhood, and I just gave it a primary school.
So basically,
and that was it.
You've got a city full of millennials.
I've got a city full of people going, well, I want a better pay rise. It's right. Basically England, where they want a job, or there's low paying jobs there, but they don't take because they get better from benefits or whatever. So, fuck them. So I just made them all dumb, and then then I got no one in my offices or all the educated jobs. So it's a constant battle.
The irony though of this, I will say this. That's what I mean. If you think about it, Mark, you're talking about, or Mike, you were talking about, you've got roads and they're stupid and they're not working right, but you're going to keep them. That's like the real city. I mean, I look at my town. Yeah. We have many of those fucking roads where I'm just like, who the fuck thought?
And then bottlenecks.
This was a good idea.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Absolutely. I did the just for Nasty Throwdown in the chat. I'm playing this on PC. I wanted to get it on Xbox, but there's no point because I've got it on PC, so... because the Xbox version does look good.
It controls well.
Yeah. But yeah, I did the sort of like noob common thing. I put the waste pipe into the river at the top, and I put my inlet a bit further down, and then I started wondering why all my people kept getting sick and poorly. So I had to switch them around.
Drinking
shit, yeah.
So... Yeah.
But yeah, later on, it's
down the line.
Yeah, it shows you the river. It sort of like goes a bit of a browny, stainy colour.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's always a shock, isn't there? When you make your shit in, you think, oh, this is going really well, and then you look at you click the pollution button, and then all of a sudden you go, oh my god, people are eating their own shit, living in shit.
Yeah.
I better sort this out. But later on, you do get like a fertile,
treatment plant, yeah.
Treatment plant, that's it, thank you. So you get a treatment plant for your rivers.
Yeah, I've unlocked that now.
What I really want to work towards is an airport. I really want an airport, but you need a very high population. Yeah. I've got a train station, I've got an underground, and then, but the thing is, you don't, with the undergrounds, like, you don't really keep an eye on it, right? So I made it, and I just thought, that's not a big deal. And then I looked under it, and you can monitor it. And then I realised there were like hundreds of people waiting for trains.
And there's no trains.
Hundreds of people. All right, and there's just like one train going around. So I had to sort that out. And it's just, like you were saying, Greg, you know, when you play this game, you realise, fuck me, it's really hard to make a city. All right? And you... I can speak from my home city, which is Wolverhampton, and any city where really like a larger one like Birmingham just down the road from me, where that there are things and there's areas and you just think, God, the council just needs to bloody fucking put some shops here and it'd be way better, and to a degree you sort of get the understanding of where all this comes from, like why. You think this bridge is going to solve all your problems. Do you know what I mean? Like, you build this road and you go, oh no, I'm going to build a bridge from this road to this road. So all these fuckers that keep getting stuck in traffic are not going to get stuck in traffic anymore. And then you realise, oh, because if you do that, then it's a big bottleneck for something else. And it's just this constant battle. Saying that, I fucking love Cities Skylines. Yeah. It is really, really good.
The more I've heard you guys talking about this, the more I've come to realize I think I'm living in a game of Cities Skylines.
Yeah.
Because literally, so, you know, real life story here that segues with this nicely. We have this street corner where the city was trying to institute a law of you can't turn on a right against the red light. And so they had little signs up, and and everybody just pretty much was ignoring the signs. And then they finally put up like a meter light, right? And it bright red arrow, you know, with a slash through it saying no turn on right, you know, when the red light was up. And it sounded great. And then we were noticing that the light was coming on even when traffic was going kind of – I need a diagram for this. But so basically the streets here – this is a total visual thing. And then the cross traffic was only going in one direction. And they couldn't make a U-turn. So there's no way anybody could like wreck. There couldn't be any kind of traffic issue with somebody turning right on that red light. Yet they still have the no turn on red light come up. And so that's my concept.
It was probably really expensive, and they had four meetings about it at the council. Right? And they went, well, we need to spend this money. I don't know. I'll put a fucking sign there because there was a crash once four years ago. I don't know. I really like cities. The problem is growing your population. And I think all games like this suffer the same problem, where it's... The fun is in press start, right? And you've got a blank canvas. That's the fun. Right. And you start to build. When you're, I mean, I'm comparing this to Prison Architect as well. And things like Roller Coaster Tycoon and stuff, where you got a blank canvas and you think, oh my God, I'm going to build the perfect thing. And then you realize you fucked it all up. And you get to like a, you know, you get like about 4 hours or 5 hours in and you go, oh my God, this is awful. I want to start again. And then you keep starting again until... And I think that's where people drop off and some people prosper, you know? And those the people that prosper make YouTube channels and make you really sad of how great they are. Like I watch people build cities on City Skyline and they go, well, I'm going to make this kind of road because, as we all know, that doesn't create traffic loads, therefore doesn't create traffic. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't fucking know that at all. Like, what the hell are you talking about? Because, you know, if you create two-way roads and one-way streets, it doesn't create traffic as much. I'm like, there is a degree of, do I want to learn this? Do you know what I mean? Like, do I want to know this stuff? Or do I just want to build a big city and explode it? Which you can't
probably
do.
Probably the latter.
Well, I'm tempted to get, there's a natural disasters DLC for it, and I'm tempted to get that, because that was quite fun.
There is. There's a snowfall one as well.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of mods... There's all sorts of mods as well. I mean, I'm not a PC gamer, but I am playing this on the PC, and I'm not really au fait with mods, but I have been tempted to try a few because there is you can't make ponds and lakes with the vanilla game, but there's a mod where it just gives you all the water tools and you can make a pond and all sorts of shit. So yeah, I might dabble, but. Did you say how many people you got in your city, Mark?
I can't remember. I've just got the last achievement was I think it was for getting like a big city. So I think it's about 20 or 30,000. It's getting there now though. But what I did, I unlocked the hydro dam for the power. So I thought, oh, I'll have a go at that. And I wasn't sure how to use it, so I put it in the river. And I didn't like it, so I took it out. But when I took it out, it left the deformity, and it just flooded my whole city. And all the cars were all floating. Luckily, when I quit out of it, it didn't save it. So I managed to cheat my way back into...
If only that could happen in real
life. Yeah, but it was just funny how all this water just flooded the whole city, and all the cars were swimming around, and... Wow. You can zoom right into street level, can't you, Mike? And you can see all the little cars and the little people.
So basically, Mark, you made your own natural disaster.
Yeah, I did. It's one of those games where, you know, I like addictive type games, and it's very addictive.
It does get your claws into it. Yeah.
It's got some hooks.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, can we move on from that?
Yes.
Are we good?
Yes.
Mike. I'm not going to actually have you talk about this unless there's something specific you want to talk about it. But Skyrim, you continue to forge on. It is.
Yes. I'll say this about it. I'm coming to the end of my playthrough with Skyrim.
Is this because you're coming to the end of
my life?
You will to live.
Yeah, the will to live. I'm coming to the end because I feel like, I mean, I've done, for people that play Skyrim, they'll know what I'm talking about. I've done the Mage's Quest, I've done the Dark Brotherhood, I've done the Thief's Guild, I've done the Companion, I've done the main story, I've done the Dragonborn DLC, and I'm
maybe a better question, what haven't you done?
There's probably things I haven't done. Okay. And I'm doing now the Dawnguard DLC, which is the vampire one. And I'm playing it the way I would play a Fallout, which is I'm going to do the main quest and do most things until I feel, it's like a feeling of when I'm done.
Okay.
And I don't think I can walk away from Skyrim without doing the DLC quests, because they're going to be quite small and tailored. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're going to be packaged quite tightly, whereas Skyrim is like this big open box. So, yeah, and I think after the DLC, there's probably a quest. I keep hearing, but I've never really dealt with it, this whole, you can either choose a king or a queen for Skyrim, and I've never really dealt with that.
No, I have to do that.
So, I just keep hearing about it. And today, I streamed Skyrim. Every minute I play of Skyrim is streamed online.
Right.
I've never played it without streaming. And I'm going to do like videos of all the playthrough and stuff. Today, I hit a record of how many people watch me play Skyrim. And it gets to a number where it gets a bit scary to deal with, because it's not a lot, but it's like, it was 51.
Wow, today. That's good.
Right, and they're coming in because it's Skyrim, right? Not because they know me. And it gets a bit scary.
They're like telling you how to play it.
Like, because I have to very politely say, look, I really appreciate people coming in and watching me on their Saturday, but just don't tell me how to play it. And they go, oh, yeah, no problem. Go get that. Left, you dick. Turn into a vampire. Do it. Don't turn into a vampire.
Fucking stupid. Dude, he's old.
Yeah. And to be honest, I mean, to say that there's like 51 people in the chat, most of them were very, very nice. I've only streamed once and had these like three guys come in, and they were just like telling me that, you know, that I had a small dick and stuff. All things that I know. I was killing them with kindness, this. You know, and they wasn't getting the picture, but they eventually fucked off. But you know, most of the time, people have been really, really nice, and I've the more I play Skyrim, the more people I sort of, they stay with me. Do you know what I mean? And they come back and they go, "Hey,
you're creating a following.
You're doing this, right?" And they're gonna go as soon as I stop playing Skyrim, because they're like, "Are you gonna play it again?" I'm like, "No, I'm not." And I've been telling them about, you know, the Dirty 30, and a few of them have been going, oh, like, yeah, I'll watch you play the next one and stuff. But, you know, it's just funny. And I suppose the next game that I play will attract the people that want to watch that, right? But it's been fun. I have enjoyed playing Skyrim, and streaming it on YouTube has been an experience, I have to say. It's been very bizarre and weird, and the game's good. I'm not going to sit here and say the game's bad. The game is really good.
I don't think there's any way possible you could say the game is bad at this point, given how many hours you put into it.
No, I think I would have put it down a long time ago if it was bad. There's just a lot of bollocks. There's a lot of, like, I don't latch on to fantasy. You know, we all know that. I don't. It doesn't hook me in. And sci-fi will hook me in. A Fallout will hook me in. You know, but a fantasy game won't. And the only mechanical thing that I'll say about, and this is the last thing I'll say about Skyrim, so I'll move on. The only mechanical thing I hate about Skyrim, and yeah, the combat's a bit shit or whatever, but the thing that fucks me off the most is the paths, right, and the map. Because you get a cave and you go, oh, this cave is just there, and you can't.
You have to go over a mountain.
I call it Skyrimming my way up, right? and you have to freaking bodge your way up and stuff, and it's so annoying, and I hate, and it comes up all the time, and I just wish that whatever the next Elder Scrolls is, which I'll probably try, because I think it'll probably be worth my time. It just has paths in it. Or a fucking, not a sat nav. I don't think I want a sat nav. I just want paths on the map. You know what I mean?
Sure. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, it's makes just sense. Annoying.
So talking of sci-fi RPGs, Mike, are you in future getting Mass Effect Andromeda?
I'm a massive Mass Effect fan.
I know you are.
I know you like it.
I've completed it. Yeah, it's, yeah, I thought it was brilliant. Yeah.
I'll say this, Mike. It's better to play it now than it was when it launched.
Fair enough. I think I'm curious. I'm a bit worried to play it because you know the news about they've dropped the you know they're going to put the Mass Effect franchise on hold. You know, it's not good.
That is a piece of news that I did not actually cover. I forgot about that. That was breaking news this past week as well.
Yeah. They're going to pause the franchise and the developer that made Mass Effect have now just going to be support developer. Yeah. So they just, you know, I know they make the cups of tea or whatever for the other ones. And
that's just, pretty much how that conversation went. You know that.
It's a shame, really, because it feels like they've been given a chance and whether it's their fault or not their fault, it's been absolutely hammered and there's obviously something there, but I nothing against you, Mark. I love you, Mark. I think you're a very nice guy, but I have to see for myself whether people who say it's good are just in complete denial and don't want to see that it's bad. And I suppose that comes down to me for trying it for myself. I hope it's good. I never want a bad game, Mark. You know what I mean? I never want to play a bad game, but I really wish I'm out of it thinking that you like it.
The only game I sort of like did that with was The Order. I sort of like convinced myself it was a really good game, but when I look back on it, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But Mass Effect, I'm sure Greg will back me up, it is a brilliant game. And a lot, and Hardly Dan's playing it, he's put in the chat, he's really enjoying it, and Teflon's put tons of hours into it.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. I think it is a good game. I don't think it's a great game.
Mm.
So, and that's one of those things that, Mike, I was going to say just now, is I find Mass Effect Andromeda is a good game. It hasn't gotten its hooks into me where I'm like, oh, this is a great game. I think it's a bad game.
The bar is pretty high, though, sure. Because you're comparing it to the other Mass Effects. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of games up there, but when people talk about the greatest games ever made, you know, they're up there sometimes. They get mentioned, you know?
Yeah.
Well, like I will say this. I mean, this developer, whichever, you know, the B team, I think it was BioWare, was it BioWare Montreal or Edmonton?
I don't know.
Anyway, they shit the bed on this game. They really did. With the launch, and it's just, I mean, there were things in there that just never should have released that way. Now, they've patched it, and the patch that they released, and I haven't seen what...
There's been another patch as well recently. There have been a few updates.
Really improved a lot.
Yeah.
So, in that respect, I think the game it is now, it's a good game.
Yeah.
You know, it is not a great game, and it certainly doesn't rank up there as the best Mass Effect game.
Mass Effect 2 still, for me, is the best one.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that as well. But yeah, I'll try it, Mark. I think I will play it eventually because I think I'll play it based on the merit of the others. You know?
Well, if you're not too sure, you'd be better just getting it from Boom. Do you still use Boomerang?
No, I I've cancelled it.
Right, yeah.
In fact, I changed my card and I never gave them my new card details. So I just never did it. And the whole point of this Dirty 30 is that I concentrate on the 30 games, you know, and Boomerang always threw me off playing my backlog.
Yeah.
Because you pay monthly for that.
Yeah, you feel obliged to play it. Yeah.
You're a slave to them.
Yeah.
Which is good because you can play new games, you know, but at the same time, you can't get through games that you're... I mean, and now that I Steam share with Stu, he's got 360 games or whatever.
He buys a new game every week.
And he buys all these... Yeah, but he buys all these fucking... Adventures you know, but now and again, he'll buy a gem, you know. He'll buy something really cool, and I don't have to pay for it. Because he'll do that anyway, you know. So I've got all these Steam games. I've got all, and I suppose there's a pressure when you podcast to sort of play new and current things. But we're doing the Dirty 30 this year, so that's my excuse to sort of just not buy anything.
As long as you're current on the topics, I think you're fine. You don't have to play the newest, greatest.
I was tempted to buy Battlegrounds this week.
That Billy Fraser. Yeah. That goddamn Fraser, he's got me hooked watching it as well now, and I've been so close to buying it myself.
Before we sidetrack, Mike or Mark, if one of you have the Twitch open, or just our chat open, I guess, because it's Beam as well as YouTube, maybe just some quick shout outs. Mark, maybe you can handle that real fast.
Well, I can only shout out the people who've actually typed something in the chat, because I've only got the Restream chat open. We've had Martin in there, Hardly Dan, Master Mimu, Nasty Throwdown's been quite busy in there, Hardly Dan, Fraser Moo, who else we've got? PG Tips, we have...
Has anybody got any requests? In the chat,
And Teflon 12 just joined us.
All right.
So we've no trivia, have we, Jason? Where's the trivia?
We do actually.
Oh, we do.
Came through.
All right. Yes. Okay.
All right. Well, right now we're going to talk about news. So, Mark.
Yes.
I believe you are the guru of sound effects.
Oh yeah, forgot about
outside
that.
Outside of a certain individual named Duke's Cat.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Oh dear. So,
hang on, I know why.
That's how it's done, folks. That's how it's done.
That's awesome.
Here is the fucking news.
News time. So, it was actually quite a busy week of news. I was a little shocked. Starting off with something that I know you two are going to be particularly interested in. Madden 18, the cover was revealed. Tom Brady is going to grace the cover of Madden 18.
Wow.
But more interestingly,
I can't contain my excitement.
It looks like Madden is going to be following FIFA in that it's going to offer up a single player story.
Wow. So do people in America do what people in England do, where they go into a game and they'll go, FIFA. Do they go in and go, Madden?
Madden.
Yeah, it's more like that. It's Madden.
Madden.
The other interesting piece of news to come out of this is that Madden is moving away from the Ignite engine, and it will be using the Frostbite engine, again, just like FIFA did last year. So I think they are just transitioning everything over to the Frostbite engine. We'll see how that goes.
With the story mode in Madden, will they bring him out on E3, and all the British people will just think he's a real footballer like you did?
Yeah, Alex Hunter.
I guess he's a real footballer. I don't know.
Fits the bill. Vanquish coming to PC. That was announced.
Still not played that game. I've got it on PS3 because it was free ages ago. Yeah, people keep saying it's really good, and I've still haven't played it. I need to play that.
Well, Mark, if you want to get the souped up version, you can pick it up on the 25th of May. It's going to be $20, and it's going to include some nice upgrades. It will have mouse and keyboard support, which obviously Vanquish originally did not have. It also will have unlocked frame rate and resolution settings, including 4K support for those graphic gurus out there. So they're doing the PC version justice, I think.
I'll have to cross my fingers and hope Real Defoe buys it on Steam. I can play it then.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will hook you up. Get on it. Microsoft had their Build conference this past week. And from that, there was quite a bit of news that came out of it. But most importantly, I think, or the big piece of news I took from it, was they unveiled their virtual device controller.
I wondered if you put a spelling mistake in there, because that doesn't sound healthy, a VD controller.
No, it does not. So it looks very much like the Oculus ones. In our notes, I have some pictures of it. But what's nice about this is that they're not going to break the bank. They're going to be priced right around, I think, $100. And they're going to be packaged up with the Acer VR headset for $399. And that will be a bundle price. And then HP is making their own headset, and that also can be I think that's going to go on sale at $329, and that won't be bundled with the controller. But both these headsets don't use any kind of those towers. I'm trying to think of the name of the tower for the VR headsets, where you have to set up the two towers in the opposite sides of the room to track you.
Right.
Right. These don't use it. They have external cameras built into them, and so they just track the room, kind of like Kinect, basically.
So where the towers are looking in, these cameras are looking out.
Correct. Yeah. So cool. Setup supposedly super easy. And again, VR getting affordable. It'll be interesting to see if this helps the cause of VR, because I think VR still is in kind of shaky water.
Well, I don't think we have enough shooting gallery games.
No, I think there needs to be more.
I think there needs to be more. I don't. I can't get enough of standing on one spot shooting shit.
Yeah.
Fuck VR. That's what I'm saying.
Fuck VR. Okay.
Well, what's up, Greg? I'm sticking with it.
Sorry. I am now reading our show notes, and I'm just noticing that there's been some creative edits. I don't know how or why or who, and likely it was potentially somebody like Robin Tate came into our notes. But Microsoft build continued, and they talked about the Creators Program. And that they're going to be adding mouse and keyboard support to Xbox One, and that basically all features from Windows will be available to Xbox One for creators in their apps. However, they did say that mouse support on the Xbox One would be limited because most mice are not going to be compatible with the Xbox One, with the exception of a few. Within our notes, I've noticed, for most species of mice,
will be compatible. However, a handful of mice that prefer cheese without holes will be. It's a fuck of that rubber.
Well done. Well done. So next piece of news. I don't know if you guys remember hearing about the game Rime and multiple games on the Switch that were getting a quote unquote Nintendo tax.
Right, no.
Rhyme's sort of like a Last Guardian sort of vibe game, hasn't it? And wasn't it coming out on the Switch and it's more expensive than the other games, the other platforms, isn't
it? Yep. So it was going to be $10 more. And this actually, there's a number of games coming out on the Switch that actually are $10 more than their counterparts on the PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. The reason for that is a bit shrouded mystery, but in a nutshell, it costs more to make Nintendo games right now for the Switch.
Is it because they're a cartridge?
It is. That's a big part of it. However, the Rime developer is reducing the digital cost on the game, so it'll match the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One cost. The box set, though, will still cost $10 more. But to make up for it, they've included a soundtrack within it, and so that'll be part of the box set, and then you'll be able to buy the soundtrack for $10 more digitally.
All right.
This is a piece of news that excites me.
And it's been Tech. Yeah, be careful, Greg, because I think someone's been playing with this as well.
BattleTech is a Kickstarter game that is basically a turn-based mech assault type game. They got a publishing deal with Paradox, and so they're going to be.
I just got the edit that he made.
Yes, yes, the edits are fantastic.
Yeah,
I see. Yes. I would have read that. You should have asked me to read that out. I would have read that.
Every news story has been quietly edited. Yes,
very clever.
But yeah,
I think I would have noticed the word Dick Starter.
Yes. Yeah, and Paradix.
Yeah. But no, so good for them. Happy to see them getting their publishing deal.
So what's BattleTech? I don't know what.
So BattleTech, do you remember the game Mech Assault?
Oh my god, this is why you love it so much.
Yes.
Oh,
do I need to say anymore? BattleTech is the universe that MechAssault sits in, so to speak.
Oh my god, there's a universe and everything. Oh,
yes, this is Warrior Online. That game is set in
BattleTech. Oh god.
Yeah. Oh yeah, giant robots for the win. Giant robots for the win.
So was you a big fan of Power Rangers or something, Greg?
No, I actually hated Power Rangers. Always
it's got big robots in it.
Yeah. No, but I was a big fan of Ultraman.
Ultraman, yeah.
Look up Ultraman. It is basically Godzilla, you know, equivalent, but it was a man in a giant spandex suit with a helmet on, and he was Ultraman. Yeah. Ultraman was awesome.
Well, that, I mean, I'm looking at Ultraman now, and he looks like the robot from The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original. But that is Power Rangers, Greg.
Oh, you're showing your age, Greg. 1966, original series.
Yeah. They put it on rerun. We saw it all the time. So don't.
It's an Ultraman. This, I'm looking at it. It is Power Rangers. It's the same thing. Like yeah. it's like a big it's fighting a lizard.
It's totally the same thing. I get you. It is totally the same thing, except for it's not. So just leave me alone. You know, it's not five dorky dudes giant, you know, forming up a giant robot. It's one dude that's a giant
badass robot. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't need to defend my choices anymore. Let's move on.
Fair enough.
All right, we've got podcast trivia. This is the most exciting part of the show. It does not get any better than right here, right now.
Sick.
Yeah. So, after last week, Nicole has increased her lead. She is in the lead with 9 points for the season, podcast trivia. Robin, He was right there. He could have been getting more trivia points tonight, but he chose not to. He's sitting at 7 points. Looks like Kim actually is right behind Nicole also. I think she's either at 6 or 7. I can't see. My eyes are going way bad. That's way too small for me. So she's at 6 points. And then Mark, our previous winner, previous season 2 winner.
Yeah. Shocking, isn't it?
Mark, what's going on?
I don't know. I didn't get any last week. I had a double flop last week.
Well, this is your opportunity to pick up 2 points. Mike, you, for as few times as you've been on the show, you are tied with me with 1 point.
Yeah.
So this is your opportunity to also distance yourself from being in the bottom of the barrel.
No worries. I'm going to work hard.
I know you are. Here we go. Questions from our good friend of the show, Jason Johnson, our trivia master. All multiple choice questions. You can play along at home, of course. But just don't, if you are listening to this at home, don't shout the answers out, please. We want to make sure we don't give anything away to Mark or Mike.
Don't put it in the chat. Just DM them me on Twitter.
Here we go. First question. The original Quake was released in what year?
Fucking hell.
The original Quake was released in what year? Was it A, 1994?
This as well.
B, 1995? C, 1996? Or D, 1997? When was the original Quake first released? Was it A, 1994? B, 1995? C, 1996? Or D, 1997? Let's get your answers in, guys. In three,
oh, we have to type them.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Yes. I wasn't paying attention.
All right, you both have answered C, 1996. Mike cheating off of Mark Likely, and that is correct.
Yay.
1996 for the win.
I played a lot.
We have to type him. I was just like, yeah.
All right. Well done to the both of you. Wink, wink, nod, nod. All right, next question. Here we go. What was the first game released by the studio known as Silicon Synapse after they changed their name to Blizzard Entertainment? This is a quite complicated
question. Say it again, yeah.
let me say it again. Pay attention, children. There is a quiz after this. All right. Clear your heads, clear your minds.
Okay.
No drinking in the classroom, Mark.
So, sorry, boss.
All right. What was the first game released by the studio known as Silicon Synapse after they changed their name to Blizzard Entertainment? So basically, I think it is the first game
Blizzard
by
Blizzard.
Blizzard Entertainment, officially known as Blizzard Entertainment.
Right.
That makes sense? Clear as mud,
yeah.
I think.
The other name just completely throws you off, doesn't it?
It might be part of what it is.
I thought you were going to say Silicon Knight.
Dan in the chat thinks he knows this. Dan. Right. It's all yours if you send me the answer.
All right. Is it A,
Warcraft is a game
Warcraft.
World of War pussy.
Humans. Yeah. Warcraft, orcs and humans. B, Blackthorn. C, Justice League Task Force. Or D, Diablo. What is the name of the first game released by Blizzard Entertainment when they changed their name from Silicon Synapse? Maybe that was the better way to ask that question.
Can you read the games again, Greg?
Yes, I can. It is A, Warcraft, Orcs, and Humans. B, Blackthorn. C, Justice League Task Force. Or D, Diablo. I'm going to help you guys out. I believe D, Diablo. I don't believe that's a real game. There's no such thing called Diablo.
Ever.
All right. Can I get your answers in 3, 2, 1?
Ooh, different.
All right, we have two different answers. Mark has gone with D, Diablo. Saying it's Diablo. Chinny has gone with B, Blackthorn.
Yeah, because I thought that sounded like a cool name.
Somebody has gotten it correct. And the person that has gotten it correct now has 2 points. And that is on top of his 1 point. Mike Chin got it right.
Yeah.
It is Blackthorn. Nice. Well done, Mike.
What's Blackthorn? I've not heard of it.
No clue.
I went for the obvious one.
Yeah. Well, either way, though, you picked up some points.
I got one, yeah.
Mark, you've got yourself elevated up to almost decent status.
Yeah.
Mike, you suddenly are almost a player in this this whole contest at 3 points.
Yeah.
Well done. And, yeah, it's looking like neither one of you are going to win, but thanks for playing.
Well, we all know who's going to win. Nicole.
Yeah. The champion guesser.
I thought for a moment Robin had a legitimate chance. You know, he's right there. There's a few weeks left. Yeah. He could pull it out.
He should have sacked him motorbike races and been on tonight. He could have taken the lead.
Yeah. Just saying. Priorities, Robin. Priorities. Mm-hmm. All right. Mike.
Yo.
You're hip to new releases and things coming out.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, maybe you should just walk us through what's coming out next week.
Oh, my God, the music and everything. How scary is that? All right, they're all here. Good. All right, I don't have to do anything. Brilliant. Farpoint is the first one. Is that right, Greg? Am I reading from the right list?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, okay. Releases for this week are Farpoint for the PSVR. So if you're one of the three people that own one of those, then good luck with that. That's coming out on May 16th.
Sick burn.
Awesome. Sick burn, bro. Also on May 16th is probably one of the biggest games of the week, which is Injustice 2. So if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, it's the same people, but it's all DC stuff. And apparently Sub-Zero is going to be one of the DLC characters I've heard. Sure, whatever. Great. I haven't played Injustice 1, actually, but
I enjoyed Justice 1. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Apparently it's pretty good. Yeah. They do good stuff over there. The next game on May 16th is The Surge. I don't know anything about The Surge. I think it's a walking sim sort of game. Is that right? Or am I completely wrong?
This is much like Dark Souls. Mm. It's from the guys that did what was the name of the game, Mark?
I don't know.
Not Fallout. The Dark Sims, I'm completely drawing a blank on it. Anyway, they made a Dark Sim, Dark Soul, Jesus Christ. Anyway, they made a Dark Soul like game.
Right.
It starts with an F. Can't think of the name of it. Fallen. The Fallen.
Oh, yeah.
They made The Fallen.
Lords of the Fallen.
And The Surge.
Lords of the Fallen. Oh, yeah. Yes, I do know what that is. Yeah, okay. So The Surge is what, a sequel to that?
It's a sci-fi. Like a, yeah, it's a sci-fi setting, actually.
Yeah, so Nasty Throwdown in the chat is looking forward to that. He's saying it looks cool.
It's looking good.
Mm.
Okay, so if you're into that kind of stuff, then The Surge might be for you. I don't know what year this is, but it seems like we've gone back to the past because I'm reading the words Reservoir Dogs, Bloody Days, which apparently is coming out on May the 18th. I don't know anything about Reservoir Dogs, but it is a thing. Also coming out is a Thumper. That's coming out on the Switch.
Right.
Sorry, Reservoir Dogs was on the PC, but Thumper is on the Switch on May the 18th. And then also on the PC is Endless Space 2. Apparently there wasn't enough space, so they made a sequel. And then there's Fire Emblem Echoes, Shadows of Valentia, or some shit like that, for the 3DS, or the 2DS XL, if you've got one of those fucking stupid things. That's coming out on May the 19th. And then Skylar and Plux, which sounds like a game that a child made up. in you know, classroom, like, okay, everybody, kids, make up a name for a video game. Skylar and Plucksmith. Okay, go on break. Adventure of Clover Island. That's out for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on May the 19th. So I think there's quite a bit out. You know, it's a, you know, bit of a lull, but Injustice 2 and sort of some of the other games might keep people going. So
right. Those are the games of the week. Definitely the big title. I mean, Farpoint for PSVR. If you have a PSVR, this obviously is of interest to you. And The Surge. I'm actually really curious to see how The Surge is received.
Well, what is Reservoir Dogs then? I'm just going to have a look into this. I'm just going to quickly look into this. Talk amongst yourself. I've got to have a look.
If it's linked to the movie, it's a brilliant movie.
There was a Reservoir Dogs game back in the day.
Yes.
Bloody Days trailer.
So,
alright.
Okay, I'm just looking at it very
fantastic
quickly.
Fantastic radio,
here.
Yes.
Right, so I've got the Reservoir Dogs Bloody Days cinematic trailer playing in front of me now.
And
if you akin, the art style looks very much like Team Fortress 2 ish.
Okay.
It's got all the Mr. Pink, Mr. Blonde, Mr. Blue. They don't.
Oh, so it's got the characters in it.
Yeah, Mr. Blue, Mr. Orange, Mr. Blonde.
Doesn't look like the people from the film, though. So this looks like it's based sort of on the concept of...
Well, yeah, once you went with Team Fortress 2, I kind of assumed.
Yeah, but, you know, there's something about strategizing the heist or something.
Yeah, going back in time, time manipulation.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I've just fast-forwarded into the trailer. It looked very good. But now it looks like a twin stick shooter game. It looks like shit.
Well, maybe someday that can appear on your Year of Living Gamedrously backlog.
Is it? Hang on.
Oh.
Is
wait
it?
Wait a minute.
Is it an XCOM-y game? Top Ooh. Game.
Wait a minute.
No.
Greg's ears just went ding.
I know. I'm on mic.
I thought it was turn-based, but it's not.
All right.
You can rewind time, though. Mm. If you mess up, you can rewind time.
Interesting.
Like you normally would.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mike, thank you for covering the new games. I appreciate that.
No problem.
Mark?
Yes?
Do we have a little... Should we play the soundbite for the Dirty 30, or should we just talk about it?
No, we'll just talk about it, because quality's not very good, is it? It's a bit hit and miss because of all the setup, so... Yeah, the Dirty 30 is something Bongo set up where it's a challenge. it's a challenge to play, you know. it's just some shit Robin's...
Some
yeah.
A lot of games.
To clear your sort of backlog. So, you missed out all the monthly freebies.
Robin is currently cursing.
Yeah.
Mark, that should be the new intro.
Yeah.
What you just said.
You've missed out all the monthly freebies, Matt Gregg. Aren't we doing the monthly freebies?
Well, I figured we covered those last week.
Right, just up the 16th is in a couple of days, so...
My apologies. Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga will be coming out May 16th.
And Lara Croft, Temple of Osiris.
Yeah, and Lara Croft, Temple of the Osiris. Of Osiris, not of the Osiris.
No one was going to call you on that, Greg. No one was going to stop you and go, there's not a the in the title of that game there, Greg.
Anyway, both those games are going to be available on May 16th. Get them when they come out. They're both quality games. And everything else still available for Xbox One and, of course, PlayStation all month long.
Yeah. So getting back to this Yogg business, what Robin's like throwing at us.
Business. Yeah. Torture.
Yeah. It's incorporated into our Victory Achieved. And basically, when you finish a game, you take a selfie with the credits rolling in the background of said game. And you get entered into a quarterly prize draw where you can win $20 or 15 English pounds. The draw is from 1st of April to 30th of June, so every entry you submit will be a token into the hat to be drawn out by Robin at the end of June. So people this week who have done Victories Achieved and Yogg's, the Yogg ones first, we've got Genesi, finished Gears of War Judgment, Gunslinger X1983 finished Doom, which is a good game. Our very own gamer, Girl 27, she's finished another game. She's finished King's Quest.
King's Quest.
Daddy Eakins finished Battlefield 3.
Hoorah!
And for the non-Yogs, Teflon 12 has finished Ghost Recon Wildlands. Some dude called Marcanix.
And Baby Makes 3.
Marcanix finished Forza Horizon 3. And I also finished the Hot Wheels DLC now as well. And some other dude called Murphy's Law finished Halo Wars 2. And they all get this sound clip.
You all have a Victories Achieved! Victories Achieved! You have one, a Victories Achieved! I did. Yeah. I think I actually broke a blood vessel in my eyeball when I did that recording.
You really, like, squeezed that one out, that last one. Victories Achieved! It was Halo Wars 2, Greg. Let's talk about that again. No.
Let's talk about it. All right. If you have made it to this point in the show, God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time to sit in with us.
Also, wake up. Wake up.
Yeah. Wake up. We're no longer talking about bowling, Skyrim, or any other nonsense.
Let's talk about my ice skating, Greg.
Let's not.
No.
Can I just... some breaking news in the chat.
Yeah.
Breaking news in the chat. Nasty Throwdown's put there's some Alan Wake news. It's currently $2.99, but it's going to be removed from Steam and Xbox stores on Monday due to music licensing.
Yes, that is true. I've heard that.
Yeah.
So
if you want to get it quick while you can. So if you've already purchased this, will you still be able to download it?
I'll have access.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. Due to music licensing, some fucker said music. You're not having that anymore. Pull it out.
Yeah, so, music's a weird business.
Yeah,
licensing is tough. General.
Yep.
All right. Well, back to what I was saying.
Yes. Yeah, sorry.
If you have made it this far and you're awake, you know, hey, those people in the chats, we appreciate them giving us breaking news. Come check us out next Saturday. We're going to be back on at 3 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. on the East Coast. And if you're one of those guys with a funny little accent over in the UK...
Hello. All right, Governor.
Hello, Governor.
Hello.
You can listen in at 11 p.m.
Hello, 11 p.m. It's UK my time. Turn to talk. Fuck off.
You done?
No.
You want to read the closing notes? Mike, go for it. Come on.
That's a Mickey Mouse.
Blow it all
you do.
No, Greg, you go for it, man. You're a pro. I don't want to get in your way.
Yeah, this whole show has been absolutely professional. Let me tell you. Yeah. We bring it on this show. Just come in. Check us out on Twitch. Check us out on Beam. We're on YouTube. It's all live. It happens in real time. And if you do miss it and you're like, God, I missed this week's episode. What am I going to do? Guess what? We do offer up an audio podcast. You can just download it and you can still listen to us and have the same amount of enjoyment. However, you won't be able to play the game, the trivia, the highlight of the show in real time.
Greg, what if I wanted to email the show? What do I do then?
Well, Mike, you could email the show, and it's real simple. podcast@ocpod.com. That's our email address.
Hold on. Emails are for old people. I want to tweet the show. What do I do then?
Mike, if you're going to tweet us, I would suggest you use @OC_podcast. That is our Twitter handle. Likely you're going to be met with somebody responding and they type in an Irish accent.
Holy hoot, holy hoot.
Yes. So that's our Twitter.
Hold on. I really get my kick out of joining different Facebook groups. What if I just want to be a part of the group and chat to some other people in the community? What do I do then?
Well, Mike, if you wanted to do that, that would be our Facebook group, fb.ocpod.com. Just type that into your browser. It'll take you right to our Facebook group.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I love this setup. I love this show. I want to give some feedback. How can I sort of reward you guys for all the hard work you do?
This is why I miss you, Mike. This is why I really miss you. Because, you know what, Mike? If you needed to do that and you felt compelled to do that, we are on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We have a YouTube channel.
Wow.
Give us a review. Any place you can give us a review, we would love that feedback because it helps us get visibility elsewhere.
And what about if I wanted to play video games with you guys? Because that's what this is all about.
That is what this is all about, Mike. And in fact, we are very active in the club scene, both at Miami Beach, at the club discos, but also on the Xbox. We have a OC Podcast Club.
Get
on the PS4, we have an OC Podcast Community.
Shut the back door.
And you're not going to believe this, but we even have a Steam group, and it's called OC Podcast, all one
word. I know one thing you've not got, because it's brand new, right? And you're not going to be so hot on this. You haven't got one of these Discord things, have you?
Mike, again, we are cutting edge
up.
Here.
Shut
We've
up.
Got
get
a Discord up. Server. Yeah, OC
it's
Podcast.
I can't handle
on Discord. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh. Whew.
Mike, you can literally find us anywhere. It's weird all over the place. In fact, lift up your front door, Matt. We might be there, too.
Yeah. It's true. I have to say, and I know everybody gives you shit about this Discord, Mark, but I've not experienced anything. I've downloaded it.
Yeah.
I added you.
Yeah.
And I added someone else. And that's all that's happened with Discord. Nothing else has happened.
Yeah, no, I sent you the link to join the group, because unless you join any of the groups, there's not much point in having it.
Right.
Okay.
You know what Discord is actually really great for is having the little screen pop up when somebody's making an announcement or something.
Yeah.
And you're giving a web presentation to a business client. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Share
your
screen.
Well, I'll give you a little hint. Do not join the Pedamella one. Unless you want to see some things what will scar you for life. Amos89 put a picture in. They've got a filth section, obviously, because you know what them two are like, Ped and Miller. Oh, Jesus Christ, I cannot unsee that ever. Absolutely horrendous. So, yeah.
And how do I get there, Mark?
contact BitDead. He'll get you an invite sorted.
Sweet.
BitDead's on the old Discords and the Twitters. He'll get you an invite to Ped and Miller.
I don't know. I need to get more involved with Discord. I downloaded it because I always try and keep up with the hippity hop things.
Yeah.
But I'm not falling in love with it yet.
Yeah, Gamesman have
it's
got.
It's very slick.
It is cool, yeah.
And it's like, it detects the game that you're playing. He goes, hey, this is the best overlay for your game, man. Just fucking chill out and play it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
I use it more on my phone than the computer. I mean, the Gamesman have got a group, so I chat with them, Ped and Miller. Respawn Kings with Defoe. We've got a group. There's a VG Hub one, which is very quiet. Duke now and again says, "Yeah, I'm still here," and then goes again.
I'm alive.
Yeah. But it's quite cool. It'll catch on.
I've heard it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
The internet,
just like Facebook, it's a thing.
Same.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
Yo.
you know, I want to thank you for being on the show. And
hey, my pleasure.
I would like to give you first dibs at a shout-out. Anything you want, Mike. Who would you like to give a special recognition moment to? This could potentially catapult them into celebrity status.
Who do I want to shout out? I'll shout out the True Skill Games guys because they sort of stopped their show. But I've been watching them on a website called YouTube.com, and it's a hosting video hosting site, and they've been.
By the way,
yes.
Sorry, just to sidetrack. Do you know the reason why they stopped their podcast?
Not really. I mean, I did listen to the last one. I don't remember.
We kicked their ass.
Oh yes, yeah, of course. And I was part of that team as well.
Right. I think. Right.
Yeah, you were. Yeah.
They tried to claim cheating.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and those videos are on their YouTube channel. But they've been playing The Wolf Among Us, and I don't know. They've been trying some different things, and I think it's tough doing a show every week, and running a YouTube channel is really difficult as well.
Yes, and
I know Hards is doing a good job, and he's doing some good things over there. So I've been giving them some love, been watching them, and you know, I have played The Wolf Among Us, but it's been nice to watch it again, and I hope they upload some more stuff. So shout out to them, and shout out to the regular video game podcast that I listen to. I listen to The Gamesman, obviously this one, but fuck this one because I'm on it, so I'm not going to listen to this one. I got a front row seat, man. I don't need to listen to this one. Yeah, The Gamesman, Last Save Loaded, I've listened to... I'm missing things, you know, but the Entertainers, I listen to those, and just yet another podcast with Antonio as well, and just everybody that listens to the show. Thank you very much, and thanks for all the love on the live stream, the Skyrim love. And if you're bored of watching me play Skyrim, that will end soon. I will be playing something else on my Dirty 30. I think it will be BioShock.
That's one of the games that freakiest, scariest moments ever.
Yeah,
I loved that first game. Yeah,
I've played the first one before, but it's been a long, long time. So I think it's going to be harsh. Yeah, Mark.
I just want to shout out Mike for coming on tonight. It's been a while since you've been on with us, so it's great to have you on. I want to shout out everyone who gave me birthday love this week. Thank you very much. It's very humbling when you get all these messages from WhatsApp and Twitter and that, wishing you happy birthday. It's really, really nice, and thank you very much. That's about it, really. What about you, Greg?
Well, I would like to thank you for letting me not use the condom for your birthday love.
I don't like using it more than 3 times.
I don't know what to say.
He's still drying.
All right,
I was going to ask you, Mark, what you did for your birthday, but now I don't want to know.
best not to ask. No, I really would like to thank both of you for making the show tonight. Mike, you for jumping in, inviting yourself in, which was...
Anytime you want
to do that, Mike.
No, it's more than welcome.
Because, You got regular guests now, and even though I was part of the original, but I don't want to brag about it. But I don't want to sort of. If I say I'm free, I don't want that to sound like I'm free. Fuck anybody else going on the show. I'm getting on. Like, if you need me, I'm on. But I don't care about being pushed out. I've got my weekly platform to talk bollocks. Like, I don't need another one desperately. Maybe I do.
It was great to have you on, and I appreciate you jumping on.
Anytime. If I'm free on a Saturday, I'm all yours, Greg.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I almost forgot. We did try and actually see if Peds wanted to be on the show. He's, offered himself up from time to time, and he pretty much also came up with the last-minute excuse of, I'm doing something. No, I think he said he was on vacation. I was like, hello, that's the perfect time to come on the podcast.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway, Mark,
Yes.
Thank you, my friend. I know technology has not been your friend
over the past
couple weeks.
I just can't understand why. Because, like I said, it, for weeks and weeks, it's worked perfectly. And all of a sudden, there's a load of updates. And my USB mic's called something else now on the PC. And nothing seems to work. So, yeah.
Well, your USB mic got the change operation done. So it's no longer what it used to be.
Yeah.
So you need to accept that. You need to
Move on.
Time to move on. No, but seriously, thank you. I really do appreciate you putting in the effort that you do.
You actually get viewers on Beam on this.
Yeah.
Had like two, maybe three, five.
Yeah, Nasty Throwdown's been on Beam all night.
Apparently.
We had two earlier, but we just...
The audio on Beam is much better. The quality of it.
And there's less delay as well on Beam. And because it's built into the Xbox now, it's going to get more popular. It's got a long way to go to catch up to Twitch, but yeah, it's getting more popular. Like Fumu's broadcasting on Beam right now.
I got 50 odd views from YouTube today.
Yeah,
and I think YouTube succeeds because people are on YouTube regardless of whether they want to watch it live or not.
And you've already got an establishment of followers.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, you go on Twitch, it's because you're going out your way to watch someone live, right? But you go on YouTube for anything. It just pops up. So a lot of people that just have been, you know, when you watch, you watch like this video about, Gordon Ramsay, and then all of a sudden like five Gordon Ramsay videos pop up saying, oh, you would like this. I think people who watch like Skyrim videos, it recommends them for that. So YouTube have that sort of net to cast, which is really big. It's all weird, isn't it? Because these streaming platforms are all sort of separating. And as a podcast, we all have to sort of try and work out which one's the best one.
Well, yeah, I will say YouTube is my go-to source for anything fixing my house. YouTube is a goldmine. And my car as well, for the record. Like figuring out how to properly change out and remove some of the rear brake light lenses on our car. YouTube was it was simple.
I had to watch a YouTube video today on how to remove a certain trim out of my car today because I didn't want to break it taking it off. So an absolute vital tool today. Yeah.
If you want your car fixed, go to Mark. He'll look it up on YouTube.
I'll look at YouTube and let you know.
All of the ambulances have been fixed using YouTube. So thank you to both of you. Thank you, of course, to the listeners. We really do appreciate you guys taking your time out of your Saturday to listen to us and watch us live. And, of course, if you support us on audio, also thank you there. A shout out to all of the mothers, whether you are in the UK or in the US, even though Mother's Day technically isn't in the UK this weekend, I still say happy Mother's Day to you, and enjoy the day. Being a mother is a special, special thing, and it is no easy task. So thank you to you. And with that said, Mark, I think you should fire up some music. Let's call this a podcast and get out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts,
similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.